Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Blue Dart Express Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ankita Shah from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. A very afternoon to everyone who's joined into this call. I, Ankita Shah, welcome you to this 1Q FY23 earnings conference call of Blue Dart Express. We have with us the management represented by Mr. Anil Amri, the CFO of the company. Firstly, congratulations, sir, on a very good performance. We would like you to start with opening remarks about the quarter's performance and the outlook going forward. Post that, we can open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ankita, and good evening, all the, you know, investors and analyst community. It's a pleasure to interact with you. As you've seen, of late, we made this practice more or less to interact and, you know, and to have a discussion and provide clarity on. Happy to be here to discuss about, you know, results of the last quarter where we had a board meeting yesterday. That's Q1 of 2022-23. Before we begin question answer session, as Ankita mentioned, I'll just give you brief about, you know, from the last year's last quarter rather, ending of financial year into now, how the situation is and what are the highlights of the period and also how has been the performance. Thereafter, we'll spend most of the time in question answer. Let me begin with the, you know, last year's performance. I'm sure all of you would have seen after a stellar performance in the financial year 2021-22, which was a record performance so far in the history of company. I think the situation on the economy side, we all know how, you know, the geopolitical situation is getting impacted, which is having impact on crude, which has impact on forex, foreign exchange. We all know how dollar has been moving from 75-76 to currently around 80, close to 80 range. We've seen crude moving from, you know, 100 range to 125 or so, and then slightly of late cooling down. We also saw some of the part of the, you know, world getting impacted through pandemic. You know, you may or somebody call it wave four or somebody says that is just off wave. In the middle of this VUCA world, we have seen the recent quarter for which performance was declared yesterday after the board meeting. There's a good, you know, good growth on the top line, which is essentially the run which we had in last quarter, that's Q4 of last year. Almost similar kind of run has been continuing in the current quarter on the top line. However, let me also tell you that current quarter, the growth also had some impact of base because last year in the same quarter, we had a wave two of pandemic whereby because of sporadic lockdown by various state governments had impacted our revenues in last year. There is some impact of that. Having said that, why I spoken about the crude and geopolitical situation, because we are directly impacted because of crude behavior. Because one that we have airline where crude translate into ATF price, and if the way crude behaves, ATF also rate in, you know, changes accordingly. Similarly, because of forex, since most of the crude is imported by country, so that also plays a role in the ATF price. That's where, you know, there's a impact of high crude prices in this period, which generally we know that when fuel prices go up, not only ATF but also diesel and petrol, that impacts inflation in the country, and inflation has an impact on consumption, economy as well as on consumption, and also leads to various other issues related to things which are directly connected with the petroleum prices. So in light of that, if you see, the top line growth has been close to 50%, which is quite healthy, very strong growth. But if you discount it for the impact due to base and also due to the crude prices, I think that's a still a very healthy growth which we've seen in the period. Similarly, if one looks at the on the bottom line side, bottom line also has grown, has shown a healthy growth. If you compare quarter over quarter at PBT level, it's almost 3 times increase, and even a similar trend is seen on the profit after tax. Our earning per share is close to 50, which is 49.38. I'm talking standalone numbers, which also in recent past has been one of the good growth. While there could be some argument that in the Q or quarter over quarter, if you see performance, then probably it may not look the similar way. But the fact remains is that ours is a seasonal business. So seasonal business generally should be compared quarter over quarter, and that's where you will get a better comparison rather than sequential quarter. As we move ahead, I think the economic indicators are still pointing towards a positive arena, and we expect that current scenario would continue in the, unless there's an increase in pandemic situation or rather worsening situation due to pandemic, or there is a major impact coming from geopolitical situation, which could be that crude continues to be at high level or further goes up, then that could have an impact on the run. Otherwise, from all policy front, from government side, or be it Make in India or GDP production projection side, all of this indicates that for at least foreseeable future, subject to this risk which I spoke about, seems to be positive, and that's where we have reviewed the situation, looking at the current growth and moving forward also, taking into account expected growth, a calculated kind of a decision that we are adding capacity, not only on ground but also air. I'm sure you would have seen the announcement which is there, wherein we have, press release indicated about addition of 737-800 aircraft, which will add roughly about, depending on sectors, between 15 to 20% of the capacity expansion on the current level. So currently, as you know, we have a fleet of 6 aircraft, 757-200, which gives us a capacity of about 500 tons per night. This will, depending on sectors, when we get the aircraft and the demand persisting at that point of time, our expectation is that 15 to 20% increase in the capacity would be there, which in a reasonable time frame we should be able to fill up. It has been the practice in the past. We built up some load. Same thing is here. We have built up almost about 50% of the capacity of the load for the new aircraft. And we are confident that given the positive economic scenario, we should be able to break even once we acquire this aircraft, around 2 to 3 quarters or so. With that, I will not take much of time. It will be better that we spend more of time on the question answer, understanding giving understanding of the numbers. So maybe I will hand it over to Ankita so that we take question answers. Over to you, Ankita. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead. Mr. Deora, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. Mr. Alok Deora?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alok, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I think I was on mute. Sir, congratulations on good numbers on the, especially on the top line front. Just wanted to understand on the demand scenario now. I mean, what we understand is that April and May were very good months, and then we saw some bit of slowdown in June and July. So just wanted to understand how are things shaping up on the demand side of it.
So as far as demand is concerned, I think so far there has been very good demand, you know, which is continuing. As I mentioned in the beginning, that our expectation is that yes, there could be in between small intervals of some softening trend, but going by the broader economic indicators, we feel that the current level of demand could continue, and more so because we are heading for festive season. So generally, we've seen demand during festive season is strong. So we believe there is no reason at this point of time for demand to go down unless some disruption comes in the economy.
Sure. And also, sir, if you could just provide some insights on how the e-commerce segment has performed for us in this quarter. And what's been the broad mix between ground and air express as well?
So, one of the major vertical is e-commerce, and that has been growing, you know, in a very healthy space. And we have been having good growth, you know, high double-digit growth kind of scenario. And as we move ahead, I think as I just mentioned that generally. During you know festive period, the people tend to order more online and shopping. You know historically, if you see the trend of you know shopping is high, especially on the online during this period. So we expect that that scenario would continue. Having said that, when you talk about the second part was related to
ground and air.
Yeah. Okay. So ground also has been growing strongly. Which is, you know, I would say roughly about one-third kind of a scenario, not actually one-third, around one-third kind of scenario we are heading for ground contribution in the overall pie.
Sure. And just, sir, on the cost, on the this fuel price, so ATF price, we saw a sharp increase in the recent a few months, especially in June as well, and also in July, the recent cut has been very marginal. So just wanted to understand, like, how the margins would look like now going ahead, because the ATF price continues to be near all-time highs. So how are we placed in terms of passing on the increased cost?
A very good question, Alok. As you know that we have a fuel surcharge mechanism, which has been in existence for more than 20 years now, and it has withstood you know many tests of fluctuation and high fluctuation in fuel prices, and we have been successful in passing all these fluctuations to the customers. When you come to current fuel prices, I think this is very high fuel prices currently, and I think if this continues in the longer run, it could create a problem for economy and a very high inflationary scenario. That's where we expect that the scenario of high crude prices should cool down and should come to reasonable level, which could be around 80, 85 or so. If it does not come to that level, we would see major impact of inflation hitting in the economy, and which in turn could impact demand.
Sure. So our margin picture would look like, I mean, we see these margins sustaining going ahead, or could it improve? Any color on the margin, sir?
Margin, generally, we have been trying to, look at cost efficiencies wherever possible, and that's what has helped us in last 2 years or so in improving our margin. We feel that current level of margin, maybe, plus minus 100-150 basis points, we could look at maintaining that. Our effort will be to maintain that kind of margin as we move ahead. But this is not a guidance. This is just sort of a feeling which I can share with you.
Sure, sir. Sure.
Yeah.
I have some more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you and all the best. Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, sir, on a good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand within your air segment, what would be the mix of traffic between your own planes and maybe from the passenger belly cargo side?
So, as I mentioned in the beginning, that we have 6 aircrafts, 757, which we fly with a capacity of 500 tons overnight, and we have capacity utilization of about 90%, which takes care of roughly about 2/3 of the traffic which we can carry. Almost 1/3 of the traffic we currently move through multimodal. Multimodal has various options through which, most of it could be belly space through which we could move. And also, one of the reasons is that when we built up this capacity, as I mentioned, that almost 50% of the capacity is already built up for the new aircraft. So that also features part of this 1/3 of the belly space movement. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir, it does. And the capacity addition will be in the second half. Is that a fair assumption? The new aircraft that you will add?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? Capacity addition?
The new aircraft that you will add, freighters, that would be more like the second half?
That would be like?
Second half.
That is expected towards the later part of the year.
Okay. And can you just mention which are the sectors where you are seeing a decent pickup? And going ahead also, which are the major sectors that you are expecting to gain traction from?
When you say sector, meaning geographical sector?
No, so your end consumers may be e-commerce, pharma, auto.
Okay. So this industry verticals basically you are referring to, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so industry verticals, as you mentioned, is we have e-commerce, electricals, auto, spare parts, BFSI, computer and IT items. Then we have drugs and pharma, medical equipment. These are the sectors which are seeing major uptake currently.
And how much would be e-commerce right now?
E-commerce close to 1/4 kind of.
And that would be one of the fastest growing in our mix, right?
Yeah, currently these are ground and e-commerce verticals have been growing faster. Yeah, absolutely right.
Great, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my questions. Sir, directly adding 2 planes, why not go one by one? Are we that optimistic about volumes? So just wanted to get your sense, how come, directly adding 2 planes right now? And then I'll follow up with more questions.
Sure, Pulkit. So the idea here is these 2 planes are relatively with the lower capacity as compared to our current fleet. So current fleet, each aircraft has a capacity of probably about 30 tons, and the proposed aircraft, which is 737-800, would have capacity of about 18 tons. And this will help us in going into Tier 2, Tier 3 cities. And so we have many upcoming cities, that's why we thought probably, one aircraft would not be able to cover the geographical reach we want to have. And that's why we chose to go for 2 aircrafts at this point of time.
Fair point, sir. Sir, could you also quantify what should be the amount that will get capitalized on our books impact on depreciation finance. Any rough cut numbers you can give us which we can build in to start off this?
So roughly about, you know, for these two aircraft, you know, purchase, anywhere between 3 to 350 crore kind of investment would be there.
Investment. Okay, sir. And these are, you know, new planes, slightly old fleet. Any sense on that?
So for cargo business, generally it is old fleet, which will be anywhere between 15 to 20 years kind of, you know, old fleet. Which is generally used for cargo.
Understood, sir. So, and one last question. So any comments on competition? And I'm not talking about the e-commerce players only. You know, we heard there's a few other players who are looking at, you know, pure cargo operations. Any sense on where we are versus where we were 3 years back in terms of broader air express competition? That would be it from my side.
Yes, thanks, Pulkit. I think there are two different things which you mentioned. When you talk about Blue Dart, we are more into express business and not in cargo. While other many of the players are in cargo, so cargo may not be time-definite express product. And that's where many of the people, when they compare with belly space, not the entire belly space is express, you know, cargo. Belly space is available throughout the day where cargo can be moved, while express business can only use early morning flights, which could be, you know, just a window of 2 hours, between 6 to 8 kind of you know, window through which one can use that belly space for you know, moving express product. So there's a big difference when you compare with the cargo players versus express players. While we are in express business, and if one is to compare with express, I think not much of additional players have come in last 2 years or so. Barring maybe one or the e-commerce players is trying to enter into, you know, express, but not you know, any kind of material impact on our business from that perspective.
So I'm trying to understand what IndiGo is trying to do, and this new airline called, I mean, Pehelvan, which inducted one plane. Are these not competition to you?
Pradhan Air, if you look at their announcement, they are planning to use this aircraft for charter operations, the cargo charter operations, which is not express business. At the same time, when you talk about IndiGo IndiWare, that has always been there with the UPS. So earlier that arrangement was through UPS Jet Air, which in between was with the SpiceJet, and now has moved to IndiGo. It is not that IndiGo airline which is going to carry this this thing. This is UPS international cargo which is moving within the country, and which earlier was moving through UPS Jet Air arrangement, will move now through IndiGo, you know, arrangement. So this is not a new one. It is only the partner probably that changed.
Understood, sir. Sir, I'll take the liberty of one more since I'm not being restricted. Sir, how should we look at employee cost from these levels? Any guidance would be pretty helpful.
So, very valid question, Pulkit. Currently, there is some situation, and also the wage code, which, you know, government has been talking about getting deferred continuously. While wage code will impact every single industry, if the way currently we know, in the same form it comes, unless there are changes in that. But otherwise also, there is a high demand for talent. From junior to mid-level, and that's where some kind of challenge we are also facing, and that's where we had to revise some minimum wages which we pay, and that's what is reflecting in this quarter. You know, this if you compare versus previous year, in this quarter there is some increase in the wage cost. I think somewhere around this, maybe slightly higher amount than this, could be way forward, you know, quarterly cost for us.
Got it, sir. Very useful and good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, both.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Damnaskar from Invesco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Nilesh, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So I just had one question on related to your costs. I think on employee costs, you elaborated that there was an increase in the minimum wages. But on the other two cost items, just for, out of curiosity, has there been any regrouping? Because I could see that on a QOQ basis, the operating expense are up 17%, but the other expense is down quite sharply, 15% QOQ. Is there any regrouping, first of all?
No, there's no regrouping. I would invite you to look at Q over Q number. I think there's a pattern which you see that generally this cost built up over a period of time. So Q1 would have a relatively lower cost. The Q3 would have the highest cost. So the similar pattern you could see, if I am to just give you the number, even in the previous year, the similar trend was there. Q1 had 58 crore, Q2 had 76, Q3 had 94, and Q4 had 82.
Okay.
So now this this time it is 69, which needs to be compared with 58.
Got it.
Yeah?
I got it. So there's no regrouping, but there's some element of these costs which get incurred during certain quarters.
That's right.
But just coming to so you talked about, I think, initially that we all know that ATF prices have gone up quite sharply. So which is a pass-through at the end of the day from your customer perspective, right? So this time around, so is there been a lag? I mean, I just wanted to, because when I see the margin profile looks much lower than what you have been reporting in last few quarters. So just wanted to know, is there a lag in terms of the pass-through of the ATF prices during this quarter?
So there is a lag of about a month, which generally comes in a cycle. So June cost of fuel will get passed on in July. So there's about a 1 month lag. Having said that, I think the margin wise also, as I mentioned initially, that we have a fuel surcharge mechanism, which is a pass-through mechanism, right? So when the fuel surcharge becomes relatively higher, so that would optically will show slightly, will reflect in the mathematical formula of dropping the margin.
Right.
That's one of the reasons. Otherwise, if you neutralize that impact, you will see margins are almost in the similar range.
So, but the, yeah, maybe, yeah, the only thing is the absolute profitability also, since the Y&Y quarter is not a representative quarter, the only next best alternative was QOQ. I know, understand the seasonality, but when I saw that, then the QOQ, there's a drop in the EBITDA. So maybe one is explained by the employee cost, but I was wondering that the operating expense has gone up then quite sharply during this quarter. So maybe to some extent the pass through is of the latest month ATF prices probably can do that explain? Does that explain?
Yeah, so partially that explains. And second, because of high fuel prices, obviously when you compare as a percentage to revenue, you will find that the percentage is going up.
Right. Correct. Got it. And is there a seasonality to your overall business profile during this quarter, wherein generally the margin profile during this quarter is, say, maybe lower than what you generally do from a full year basis or something like that?
Traditionally, if you look at it, this used to be the weakest quarter if you look at history. Generally, and the better margins would be in the festive season quarter.
Hmm.
So, that's how we've seen in the past. But things are changing, so you never know how the situation pans out on the geopolitical side. So probably that's where some risk could be there.
Got it. Got it. And there's no one-off in any of the expense during this quarter?
No.
Okay. Great. I think that's all from mine. Thanks and all the best. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Krishnendu Saha from Quantum EMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question. All the questions have been answered. Anil sir, can you hear me? Hello?
Can you be a little bit clearer, because I'm not able to hear you properly.
Hello?
Yeah,
Krishnendu. Yeah, most have been answered.
Mr. Krishnendu, there's a lot of disturbance from your line.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah. Just to understand a couple of things, most of the questions have been answered.
Krishnendu, you
okay,
are...
Can you hear me now?
So there's a fluctuation in network, looks like.
Hello?
Can you hear me now? Audio is getting missing, yeah.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, better.
Hello?
Yeah, better.
On the understanding, so there's not been any normal price increase either, because when I'm looking at your revenue per ton, it is flat on a QOQ basis. So even that has not increased. So when do we plan to take a normal hike besides the ETF also, ETF prices also? And there's a question on this, on the second thing, when I'm looking, the parcel load is increased again from 3.41 to 3.61. kgs per parcel. So are we doing a lot of road traffic right now? Because I was under the impression that some amount of cargo which was light will come back, like papers and all, news and exam papers would come back. So that doesn't seem to be there. And the 360, will it come in depreciation and the ROU? So I just want to know that. These three questions. Thank you.
So what was the last question?
The 360 crores which we are planning for the two aircraft, will it come on ROU or will it come on as in gross block?
Okay. Understood. Okay. So let me try and give you answer to each one of your questions. The first question was on revenue that you said that you compare per kg or per ton realization, which is not reflecting. So is there any rate hike? So there is a rate hike and there is a GPI which has been implemented, but I think it's because of the product mix, because we have different services, like you have and different products, like you have a courier business, you have a air packages, you have ground packages, and also international. So as a result, because of product mix change, you are when you look at in an overall basis, you are not able to see that impact. And that's where you will see that volume increase is also 50%, revenue increase is also 50%. So there's no impact of fuel as well as on the of the GPI. While in reality it is there, both of them had impact, but because of product mix, this is not visible when you look at a macro level.
Which product would have been most skewed right now for this quarter?
Sorry?
Which product product mix change? So which product would have been
like I mentioned that e-commerce and ground has been growing much faster.
Okay. And so that explains the increase in payload per parcel. So 3.6 opposed to 3.41 last quarter. Is that because the ground has increased?
So there are, when you look at a macro level, I think you may not get a very clear number. Yes, you may get a macro feeling, but a clear number you will not get because of the mix which keeps, which is dynamic because of various offerings which you have. So if we focus more on high, dense cargo or high weight shipment, then you will find that growth in tonnage will be high and even realization will drop, because if it is moving on ground versus air, the ratio is 1:4. So when you move more of a ground, then you will see that per ton or per kg realization will drop, while that may not be the case. It's because of the product mix, you may get a macro picture that way. And similarly, if we grow more of air and less of ground, then you will see that very high improvement in the realization per ton or per kg, because air is costlier as compared to ground. So these are the dynamics of the macro picture, because of which sometimes it may not give you right visibility.
Right. Sure. So, and sir, this 360 crores of investment, will it be shown as a gross block or it will be shown as a ROU?
So mostly, as of now, plan is to have this in the asset base. Let's see by the time we can always take a decision to change it if required to, you know, borrowing and show the ROU. But at this point of time, we are going ahead with more of a, you know, this asset sitting on the you know, in books.
Okay, and this will be after 180 days?
Sorry?
So it'll be after 180 days, so we get half depreciation, or it will be just on that part? So depreciation will be for the full year or half year, because it'll be if
half
it's
year,
possible
half
after.
Year, half year.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is from the line of Kripa Shankar NJ from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. So first of all, the Ground Express side, just want to understand the sequential growth in the Ground Express. How high would have been vis-a-vis Air Express?
So, per you know, product-wise growth is not is in public domain, but I can only give you you know, indication that it has been growing at high double digit. Sequentially,
okay.
Also, it has been in double digit growth.
Got it. And looking at you know, the huge growth, I think which has been double digit growth on a sequential basis. Ground should have been much higher at upwards of for us to for the realization.
I'm not able to hear you Prashantji, clearly because of variation in audio.
Is this better? Hello?
Hello?
Is this much better?
Relatively better, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just asking that then, looking at the sequential tonnage growth, you know, at about 11%, then Ground should have been much, much higher than that number for the realization to flat on a QQ basis. The understanding is correct, sir?
So I will not be able to comment because we are not giving product-wise numbers.
Sure.
Yes, you know, but logically
yeah.
It should be higher.
But so, you know, we did mention it in our
previous... Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kripashankar. May we request that you return to the question queue that a participant is waiting for their turn?
Just one follow-up on this. Just on the growth guidance.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but there are participants waiting for their turn.
All right, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Sandeep Bansal from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bansal. You're sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, is this better?
Much better. Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Good afternoon. Yeah.
So I had two questions. Firstly, if one third of our belly cargo will move to these new aircraft, then is it fair to say that the 15-20% capacity increase will not lead to a commensurate increase in volumes for us?
You are right, because as I mentioned, volume is already moving, almost half of the capacity utilization volume is already sitting in the base. As I mentioned that we are currently moving some of the volume through belly space.
Right. Okay. Thanks, sir.
Which will move from commercial or the belly space into our aircraft.
Right. Sir, then this should basically have a larger impact on our margins, which is factored in the, you know, a broad indication that you're giving that the margins could go up from current levels by 100 to 150 basis points.
No, I said plus minus.
Yeah, plus minus. Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
So it could be, you know, other side also.
Right, right, right. But it would, let's say, if it...
Another thing is for long term. This could have, when we inducted capacity, new capacity, it had some impact for a quarter or two, because you don't start, you know, as I mentioned that it takes 2-3 quarters to break even. So the extra cost definitely has an impact on the margin. But when you talk about longer term, maybe year or two, that's where I mentioned that this could be the stable kind of margin with plus minus 150 basis points.
Right. So, but my question was
sorry
that...
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
This is not a new question. It is just a clarification.
Yeah.
Sir, I just wanted to understand that this 100 to 150 basis points, if it is on the positive side, it factors in the fact that, you know, the volumes would move from belly cargo to our own planes. Because
yeah.
If we move from our planes, it should be a higher margin, right?
Sorry?
If we move volumes in our own aircraft, then it should be margin accretive compared to movement by belly cargo.
Why would it be?
So because we would have to pay margins to move.
Yeah.
Because we would have to pay margins to the aircraft carriers also whose belly space we are using.
Okay, you are saying from that logic.
Yes.
But then it may not be true. It may not be true. Because when you fly aircraft, there are certain costs which you incur. And that's why we generally don't, use cargo of the belly space much, because it does not suit our timing requirement. A small weight category or low capacity requirement can be met through belly space, but the larger requirement cannot be met. And when you need to, do the entire economics through cargo aircraft, then relatively it's costlier as compared to belly space.
Sure.
Because belly space generally covers their commercial through passenger aircraft. And the belly space is generally is icing on cake for them. Barring the, early morning flights, rest of the flights you get very, very cheap in terms of belly space per kg rate.
Oh, got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Cheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. On your comment that 50% of capacity is preloaded on the new aircraft, so at 50% capacity utilization, what is the OPEX loss that you would have on running these cargoes? And my second question is on the GM reduction side. So on your standalone operations, we saw that the gross margin has reduced from 37 to 33. We usually take a price hike once a year. So does it mean that if the fuel prices stay what they are, when we take the next price hike, is where the GM start improving, or I have to look at it any other way?
So what was your first question?
My first question is that 50% operating utilization.
Yeah, okay, got it. 50% capacity utilization.
What is the OPEX loss? Yeah.
What will be the OPEX loss? So generally, we at around 70% of the capacity utilization, we break even. 70-75% depending on the sector, how you fly. Right? So that's the kind of, gap which you'll have if you are talking about 50-55% getting covered. So to the extent of around 15-20% of the capacity utilization would be the OPEX loss. Now, I'm not able to put value to you currently because that's not in public domain. So it'll be difficult for me to give information which is not as a public information. Having said that, on the second part, what is the second part? I'm focusing on more on
gross margin, sorry.
Margin, gross margin, yeah. So gross margin per se, optically, as I mentioned, because of pass-through fuel surcharge mechanism, you may have seen drop. But the
yes.
moment fuel prices come to normal levels, you will see the margin going back to the same level.
Is it to do anything with volume also, or it's just to do with pricing and raw material?
Both play a role in that, because ultimately, because we are a high fixed cost model, so obviously that gives a leverage when capacity utilization improves more, especially of the facilities and the vehicles. So volume also plays a role, at the same time pricing also plays a role.
So we'll see a GM expansion because you any case have a higher quarter two and quarter three normally as your business. So GM expansion will be natural any case without a price increase, right?
I will not comment much on that. Actually, it will be like a kind of a giving guidance, but the fact remains is that unless until fuel prices do not cool down, you may see similar situation, or rather if it goes up further, you may see further, optically margin, getting skewed towards the lower side, because the fuel surcharge component keeps increasing, obviously optically it will show the lower margin.
But how about a volume increase and a flat fuel price there?
Yeah, flat fuel and volume increase definitely gives scope for better gross margin.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Now, sir, just a couple of things. You mentioned the new freighters will typically cater to the, the new smaller cities. So today, given that you have to depend on belly cargo, is your growth or presence in these smaller cities constrained? So what you're talking about is 50% incremental cargo that can look even much higher if the two freighters kind of come in, because you'll be able to provide your own service. How should one look at that?
You're absolutely right. In fact, this is one of the aim that we are seeing, that beyond the seven cities, when we expand, the market will also expand with a better service quality. And that's why we thought, rather than going for one big aircraft which may cater to fewer locations, we go for two smaller aircrafts covering more cities, so that we are able to offer better service quality and develop newer market. And as we know that metros, with metro getting saturated, the growth will come from tier 1 and tier 2 cities. And that's why we are focusing on those areas.
Okay. And so just one last thing, any sense on the market share gains as far as the third-party e-commerce logistics is concerned? Do you track any matrix where is it kind of indicating that you have gained, maintained market share? Any sense on that?
Yeah. So on air side, in fact, recent study showed that we gained market share, which currently towards the end of 21 was roughly about 54% market share in air side, which was 2 years back around 49%. So almost 3% market share is gained during the pandemic and maybe till 21 end. Similarly, we had a good growth, but right now study on the ground side has not been conducted, so I'm not able to comment whether how much we have gained market share, but how much is that gain, I'm not able to tell you at this point of time, because the study probably is underway at this point of time.
Okay, great. Okay, sir, thank you so much and wish you all the best. I'll come back.
A pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Poonam Joshi from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, Poonam.
Okay. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. First one is, how are we targeting to grow revenue share from e-commerce segment, say, over the next 2 years? And also, could you please give some color on the biggest e-commerce player such as Amazon and Flipkart, which owns their own, logistics, or they have their own internal capabilities to deliver their products end-to-end. So how are we seeing the demand coming from such big players? My second question is related to the net debt number. So what would be the net debt number as on date, and any guidance on net debt to equity once we complete the acquisition of two flights? Yeah, those are my two questions.
Can you repeat the second question slightly away from Mike?
Okay, I want the net debt number as on date, and any guidance on net debt to equity number once we complete the acquisitions of those two aircraft.
Net debt. Okay. I was not able to give you properly. Okay. So first, let me first give you the second question and then come to the first one. As far as net debt is concerned, if you look at from banking banks borrowing point of view, there's no borrowing for the entire group, be it Blue Dart Express or Blue Dart Aviation. We paid off all the borrowings from bank. We do have 200 crore borrowing from a group company in Blue Dart Aviation, while Blue Dart Express continues to be debt-free. But Blue Dart Aviation has a 200 crore borrowing from one of the group companies, which is due towards year-end, and that will also be paid off. We are confident that we'll pay off that amount towards the end of the year. So we should continue to remain debt-free. That's what, at this point of time, the plan is. On the first question, on the e-commerce side, I think there's a lot more, headroom is available. Reason being, if you compare our country's spent on e-commerce versus the developed countries where it is about 17-18% of the retail being spent on the online e-commerce shipments, we are currently about 4%. So there's a very big headroom available for this spend to increase. And when you say that if this much catch-up has to happen, that means a lot more shipment more have to move through express system. And we being part of the express, we feel that since there's a lot of growth opportunities available, there'll be at least for 3 to 4 years we could see very high growth. Now, in that, when you talk about Amazon and Flipkart, they have their own in-house logistic companies, which is Ecart and Amazon Transport. As and when volumes reach to a particular level, they take that for in-house servicing of those locations. And we believe that could continue. So maybe this bigger player would have a lesser opportunity for a third-party logistic player. But there are many more players who are coming up which could offer opportunity for growth. And that's what currently we are seeing. Many omnichannel players are coming, many new players are coming, like of Tata, Reliance, and many others are getting into this business. And, the pie would expand, and the opportunity for us to also grow this particular offering would be much higher. That's what we currently believe.
One follow-up question here. So, what percentage of volume do we carry for this big player? If you help us quantify it.
When you say percentage volume, meaning?
Let's say the big players have their own in-house capabilities, which help them to, deliver the cargo. So we are not doing well over here in terms of delivering, and we can expand the demand from such. Players, but at present, I just need to know what percentage of, let's say if they have 100% of their product, it has to be delivered. What percentage are we delivering, on their behalf? Just wanted to know that number.
Okay. So, roughly about 85 to 90% of the, volume they do on their own, which is essentially in metro and tier 1 cities. And some of the tier 2 cities, around 10 to 15% currently these both big players outsource to third-party players, and we get share more especially high-ticket items which generally move through air or move through Blue Dart.
Okay. So one last question. Basically you're given guidance, or not the guidance, but you spoke about the 100 and 150 basis point EBITDA margin impact, or expansion we can see. So wanted your understanding in financial year 23, what sort of sales turnover one can expect, or you can give the sales growth number from the last year. That would be helpful.
So Poonam, just to clarify, I did not provide any guidance. I said long term perspective, what could be a feeling. Right, this is not a guidance. So again, I'm repeating, it is not a guidance. Point number one. Point number two, having said that, generally we have not been giving any guidance, be it on top line growth or bottom line growth. It was just, in the context of the question, I mentioned that it could be around that range. Having said that, for 23 financial year, again, I will maintain that company is not in the practice of providing guidance, so I will not be able to tell you that what growth we are looking at. But yes, definitely I can tell you for your understanding that we should see high double-digit kind of top-line growth.
Okay, understood. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move to the next question, we would like to request participants to limit their questions to one during the initial round. We have the next question from the line of Ash Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, for the ground segment particularly, apart from the 300-350 crores of capex that we are planning to do, are we doing any particular capex in the ground segment for this year? And if yes, then what are the initiatives that we are going to take for it?
Thanks for your question, Ash. So ground side also we will be expanding. Obviously, ground becomes complementary to air as well as also offers opportunity for us to expand our services. So we would be also investing though generally we operate on asset-light model. So all our facilities are on lease basis, be it vehicles or be it our warehouses or hubs. So we would continue the same way. To that extent, our investment requirement on ground will be lower because all of this will be more on operating this kind of a scenario. But then there will be good amount of capacity would get added both on the network side as well as on the hub expansion side.
Okay. And one more question, just last one. Last year you had done a drone testing for the Telangana government. So, and I had recently read that Swiggy is also planning for drone deliveries throughout NCR and Mumbai. So are we like seeing that as a next opportunity for Blue Dart per se? Like we could expand more into it, not right now in the near term, but over the next medium term, like 3 to 5 years?
You are absolutely right. Probably drone could be one of the avenues for deliveries in future. At this point of time, number of people are doing experiment by using drone and also developing modules, commercial module based on that, and also watching the space that how it gets evolved over a period of time. So like we did our pilot last year number of times, and we would continue to do some more pilots so that we continue to get insights to see how we can improve our customer experience. And yes, who knows that maybe in 3, 4, 5 years time, it could become viable commercially and one could be delivering a shipment through drone. Definitely when it comes to emergency situation, drone does come handy and it has the capability to deliver shipment. But then currently from cost point of view, probably it is quite cost prohibitive. Unless until the evolution happens on this front, it will be a little difficult at this point. But yes, going forward, there could be an opportunity on this side.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
So, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move to the next question, we would like to remind once again, please restrict your questions to one during the initial.
I think we'll have to have one question because it's almost closer to the time. So maybe last one question we can have.
Sure, sir. We have the last question from the line of Krupa Shankar NJ from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So just one question. What is your view on ONDC just launched today? And, looking at the growth process, what you have talked about in the Air Express business.
Sir, voice is not clear. Can you repeat? Anshita, can you repeat the question if you heard?
Sir, is it audible now? Is it better?
Not clearer.
So, sir, my question was, if you can hear me, what would be your view on ONDC and also what you're seeing is that, restating your opinion that Air Express is going to grow much faster or similar to Ground Express going ahead?
Okay, you're talking about growth on air versus ground, right?
Yes. We are adding two aircrafts, so just wanted to see that, are you seeing the prospects as much of revenue growth is much faster in Air Express now?
Yeah, so as I have been mentioning earlier, there will be growth on both the offerings, be it air or ground. Yes, relatively, if you want to understand, we expect that growth to be, high on ground and maybe high single digit or close to double digit kind of growth on air. But then ground definitely would be high double digit kind of a growth as we move ahead.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would like to hand the floor back to Ms. Ankita Shah for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. We would really like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call and wishing them all the best for the coming quarters. Sir, would you like to add any closing comments?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for your active participation and good questions. I really enjoyed interacting with you and maybe soon look forward to having another interaction and of course the next quarter result. And thank you, Lara, for hosting us. Really enjoyed that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Stay safe. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.